Will you pray with me?
May God grant that only the truth will be spoken here and only the truth will be heard. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So last week, Mother Tish Harrison Warren, a priest in the Anglican Church of North America, published a piece on Advent in the New York Times. As the New York Times is usually not my first resource for liturgical guidance, her article, "Want to Get into the Christmas Spirit? Face the Darkness," got my attention. In it, Mother Tish makes a passionate argument for observing Advent. In the church calendar, she writes, every period of celebration is preceded by a time of preparation. Advent is a way to prepare our hearts and our minds and our souls for Christmas. For Christians, Christmas is a celebration of Jesus' birth, that light has come into darkness, and, as the Gospel of St. John says, the darkness could not overcome it. But Advent bids us first to pause and to look with complete honesty at that darkness. To practice Advent is to lean into an almost cosmic ache, she continues. Our deep, wordless desire for things to be made right, and the incompleteness we find in the meantime. We dwell in a world still racked with conflict, violence, suffering, and darkness. Advent holds space for our grief. It reminds us that all of us, in one way or another, are not only wounded by the evil in the world, but also yielders of it, contributing our own moments of unkindness or impatience or selfishness. With J.K. Chesterton, she writes that original sin is the only part of Christian theology which can really be proved, as evidenced by the things in the world not being as they should be, or at least not as we wish they were. And so, she says, we need to look into our world and into our lives to see where and how we are both victims and contributors to the darkness. Looking at the words of John the Baptizer this morning, I have to think that, like us, Mother Tish has read the lessons. Repent, they warn us. Repent and prepare. Get ready for the reign of God to break into the world, which is a far cry from our usual Advent practice of compulsive shopping, eating, decorating, and celebrating that we otherwise engage in during this time of the year. But does it really have to be as gloomy as she writes? Leaning into the darkness of the world, examine our lives, original sin? Don't we think that there might well have been a bit of sensational atmosphere out there to this whole John the Baptizer thing at the Jordan, as Martin Scorsese so colorful shows in his movie The Last Temptation of Christ? Now, perhaps it was easier for John and his contemporaries to leave everything behind, go out into the wilderness, hear a few fire and brimstone sermons from John, and submit themselves to baptism. After all, they lived before the invention of the stringed colored light bulbs, the Christmas tree, and even before the invention of the Advent wreath. All they had was the bright sun of the Judean desert, rocks, and the dirty water of the Jordan with a bit of vegetation around the riverbed. Do we really want to join them out there? Do we know what we might find there? Fewest of us willingly undertake a journey into the wilderness to find out how it is to live with barely anything. Fewest of us seek the stark austerity that we would find there. Fewest of us have the time or the energy to willingly go to the lonely places in our world or to the lonely places within ourselves, especially in the season of Advent. There is just too much going on, too much to do, too much to get ready for, too much to prepare, as that we couldn't anesthetize ourselves by baking some cookies and keep going. Repentance? Yeah, we know that that's one of the themes of the season, and on a good day, we might even give it a passing thought. But really, do we have to do it? And why would we spend 4 weeks on repentance in Advent when in a couple of months, another 7 weeks in Lent? Wouldn't once a year be enough? These questions always remind me that we live in two divergent concepts of time. The timeline and the rhythm. We always live with and in both, in rhythm and with and on a timeline. Both are equally valid concepts of time. One isn't better than the other. One isn't even preferable over the other. Instead, our lives take place in both, in rhythm and on a timeline, simultaneously. And when we disregard one in favor of the other, we have done ourselves a disservice. Timelines are linear. They measure progress, and they are focused on goals and achievements. They mark accomplishments, and they describe this is what happened next. Timelines make for great stories as we move from one thing to the next and the next, always surprising us with something new. Rhythm, in contrast, rhythm is circular. Rhythm creates patterns and has a certain amount of predictability to it. You can let yourself fall into rhythm and feel yourself being carried by it. The highs ebb into lows. The lows give way to the highs again. If you've ever listened to an overexcited toddler and instinctively knew that in the next few minutes her mood would switch to a tantrum, you have witnessed rhythm. If you ever felt the rush of adrenaline before an important presentation and even when it went great, felt that strange letdown afterwards, you felt rhythm. Like winter following fall and spring following winter, or in our church year, Christmas following Advent and Epiphany following Christmas, we live with that rhythm of lows and highs, of light and of darkness, and Advent urges us to honor this time of introspection and of darkness. Before the lights of Christmas light the last corners of this globe. And so as John the Baptizer tells us, let us observe Advent. both on a timeline and as a rhythm. 2019 on our timeline, Advent as our rhythm. Together, they'll give our hearts and minds the opportunity to experience waiting and preparing. They are not a requirement that has to precede Christmas. Trust me, Christmas is going to come whether we are ready or not. Nor is it punishment for too much of a good thing during Thanksgiving. Instead, Advent, like Christmas, like Easter, like Lent, like any season, they are a gift, as is all time that we are given. Repent, Christ, John the Baptizer out there in the wilderness. And he doesn't mean for us to be sorry for something we have done or something we have neglected to do. Repent, he cries, and what he means is for us to pay attention, to live intentionally, to change course from our mindless and headless race into Christmas. So that when Christ comes into our midst again, breaking through both rhythm and onto our timeline, we see him, we recognize him, and we join him in that new community that he invites us to. Amen.